Be a great time. If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask for you to turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 18, Luke chapter 18. And I want to share a few minutes, Luke chapter 18, verse 35 through verse 43. I want to share in this whole thought of closer to others a message entitled The Gospel According to Horton. The Gospel According to Horton. Luke 18, verse 35, and Jesus approached Jericho. A blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, "What's happening?" Then they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." That's a good prayer. "Have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him. Those who led the way rebuked him. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him, "Be quiet." But this blind man shouted all the more. I like that. How many know some people don't know what they're talking about? Turn to your neighbor and say, "That's good preaching." There's some people in your life that do not know what they're talking about. Jesus stopped, ordered the man to be brought to him. Mark chapter 10, verse 49 says that Jesus called out, said, "Bring him here." The Bible says that somebody around him said, "Cheer up, he calls for you." And said he threw off his cloak, probably the only thing he owned, and he found his way to the feet of the master. Jesus asked him this question. This is a highlighted in your Bible. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening moment. Jesus says these words to a blind beggar. "What would you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" And immediately, "Lord, Lord, Lord," it's a great way to address the Savior of the world. "Lord, I want to see. I want to see." Jesus said, "Then receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight, followed Jesus, praising God, and all the people saw it, and they also praised God too. I love this miracle. This miracle is found in the book of Mark also, and it's kind of the long play version. The blind man's name in Mark is given to us. It's Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Jesus is going towards Jerusalem. It's the Passover. This man is on the side of the road, right outside of Jericho. Jesus is starting on a 15-mile journey that will be joined at every mile he goes with a larger group, because many pilgrims are heading their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Probably 50 to 100,000 people will pass by that way during that week, headed to Jerusalem. It's a big day celebration. Hundreds of thousands of people will gather into Jerusalem to celebrate. But Luke describes that in the middle of this parade, there is a divine interruption. We can learn a lot, not just from our Savior's words, but you and I can learn a lot about our Savior's stops. When he stops, the whole world is calling, but he stops to hear one single lonely voice by the wayside. Why? Because that's what our God is like. Can I have a good amen? I love this story in Luke chapter 18. It reminds me of a similar story from a childhood favorite, one great author, Dr. Seuss. And I want to read to you because I think it's similar. Horton hears a who. Horton hears a who. And I think we can learn some things because Horton hears a who, but in Luke chapter 18, we discover that Jesus hears you. So let's go kind of go into bedtime story, Grandpa Dino mode. So I'm just going to read to you. And maybe some of you grew up in a church. I know we went to a church for about a couple months when I was growing up that before the sermon started, I mean, it was when you get old, you just need to kind of make a noise when you sit down. You don't even need to, but it just feels mature. Yeah, praise God. Glory. Amen. Sound like Brother Wayne. But in this church that I went to for a little bit, before the pastor would speak, he would have kids come up and then he would tell them a story and it would relate to what he was speaking on. So we were going to do that, but I was afraid some adults would come up here. It's great. And I didn't want that to be weird for somebody. And so I want to read Horton Hears a Who. See if I can get this right. He was splashing, enjoying the jungle's great noise, great joys, when Horton the elephant heard a small noise. So Horton stopped splashing. He looked towards the south. That's funny, thought Horton. There's no one around. Look towards the sound. There's no one around. Dino, they rhyme. He looked and he looked. He could see nothing there but a small speck of dust blowing past through the air. I've never heard tell of a small speck of dust that is able to yell. So you know what I think? Why, I think that there must be someone on top of that small speck of dust. Some sort of creature of very small size, too small to be seen by an elephant's eyes. Some poor little person who's shaking with fear that he'll blow in the pool he has no way to steer. I'll just have to save him because, after all, a person's a person, no matter how small. Humph, humph, the voice. 'Twas a sour kangaroo. And the young kangaroo, in he pouched, said, humph, too. Why, that speck is as small as the head of a pin. A person on that? Why, there never has been. I know there's a person down there, and what's more, quite likely there's two, even three, even four. Quite likely a family, for all that we know, a family with children just starting to grow. Through the high jungle treetops, the news spread quickly, quickly spread. He talks of a dust speck. He's out of his head. Then Horton stopped walking. A small voice was talking. My friend, came the voice. You're a very fine friend. You've helped all us folks on this dust speck no end. You've saved all our houses, our ceilings and floors. You've saved all our churches and grocery stores. You mean you have building there too? Oh yes, piped the voice, we certainly do. My town is called Whoville, for I am a who, and we who's are thankful and grateful to you. And Horton called back to the mayor of that town, you're safe now, don't worry, I won't let you down. Hump, hump, the voice, for almost 2 days you've run wild and insisted on chatting with persons who have never existed. Such carrying on in our peaceable jungle, we've had quite enough of your bellowing bungle. With the help of the Wickersham brothers and dozens of others whose help I've engaged, you're going to be roped and you're going to be caged. And as for that your dust speck, ha, that we shall boil in hot steaming kettle of bezel nut oil. Mr. Mayor, Horton called. Mr. Mayor, you've got to prove that you really are there. Make every who scream. If you don't, every who is going to end up in bezel nut stew. And down on the dust speck, the scared little mayor quick called a big meeting in Whoville Town Square. His people cried loudly. They cried out with fear. We're here, we're here, we're here. Then the elephant smiled. That was clear as a bell. You kangaroos surely heard that very well. All I heard, snapped the big kangaroo, was the breeze and the faint sound of wind through the far distant trees. I heard no small voices, and you didn't either. And the kangaroo in her pout said, me neither. Grab him, they shouted, and cage the big dope. Lasso his stomach with 10 miles of rope. They beat him. They mauled him. They started to haul him into his cage. But he managed to call to the mayor, "Don't give up. I believe in you all. A person's a person, no matter how small. And you very small persons will not have to die if you make yourself heard. So come on now and try." The elephant grabbed a tom-tom. He started to smack it. And all over Whoville, they whooped up a big racket. They blew a bazooka and blasted great toots. Toots. All the guys love that word, toot. Guys laugh at a word like that. Girls are like, "What was that? What are we laughing about?" On clarinets, oomphas and boompas and flutes, the voices were heard. They rang out clear and clean. And the elephant smiled. "Do you see what I mean? They prove they are persons, no matter how small. Then their whole world was saved by the sound of them all." "How true, yes, how true," said Big Kangaroo. "And from now on, you know what I'm planning to do. From now on, I'm going to protect them with you." And the young kangaroo in her pouch said, "Me too. From sun in the summer, from rain when it's fallish, I'm going to protect them no matter how smallish." The end. How many feel like taking a little nap right now? "Pastor, could you tuck me in?" Luke chapter 18. Jesus hears a you. Horton hears a who. What are the similarities? What can we learn about life? What can we learn about being closer to others? I wrote down three thoughts, just three observations that I want to give to you and I think can help us and remind us and hopefully transform us. Here's the first one. Life's interruptions can be big God opportunities. Here's what I learned from this story of Luke chapter 18. You can see it in the story of Horton Hears the Who. Horton Hears the Who. Life's interruptions can be big God opportunities. You know, Horton could have ignored the call for help, just spent his days in the pools of Newell. But he responded. He made a decision to get involved. Just like Jesus did. If you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was constantly being interrupted. Amazing how Jesus, when you look at his life and you look at his days and you look at where he was headed, he never, you know, got upset. He did not mind being interrupted. Actually, if you look at his style of leadership and his style of leading, he actually invited interruptions. If you think about it, all over Scripture, you can see there in the beginning of his ministry when he's in Cana and he's there with just a few of his disciples. Really, he's just there at a family moment. His mother Mary comes to him and says, "Hey, we've run out of wine and this is going on and this is going on." And she says, "Jesus, help us." And Jesus actually does it. Why? Because Jesus lived his life in a way where interruptions could be opportunities. See it with, you know, when he's teaching and over and over again, many times he would be teaching and there would be a woman that walks in with a withered hand and it would catch his attention and he would be distracted or be focused from really what was going on. All of a sudden, this one woman that was walking in the synagogue caught his eye. He would shut down the whole thing to bring direction to that need. There he is teaching in a home and there's people everywhere. There's people that are gathered around. They want to hear his words. And as he's teaching, he looks up and there's light that comes in the roof. There's dust and there's bits of debris that comes out of the roof. And there's a sick man, a paralyzed man, that is lowered right in front of him as he's giving his talk. And he doesn't scold him. Actually, the faith of what goes on, you know, gets him so fired up that there's a miracle that's waiting on that man. When he's going one place, all of a sudden something would happen and he'd go another direction. One time he's headed to help an official son. He's going to bring healing there. And as he's going to head to help this family, the Bible says that there's a woman that comes up behind him and touches the hem of his garment. She has an issue of blood and he stops everything. He says, "Who touched me?" Because he saw it as an opportunity. And now there's blind Bartimaeus. I love this whole thought, how the crowd really sees blind Bartimaeus as a downer, as someone that's really not helping the whole moment. It's kind of inconvenient. But Jesus didn't mind it. As they were walking with Jesus, and the Bible tells us that there were a crowd that was walking with Jesus, and he's headed to Jerusalem, and there are many people that are gathered, and there's more that are coming on board as they head out on this pilgrimage, and they're walking, and culture tells us that when a rabbi or a spiritual leader would walk somewhere, normally he would teach and walk at the same time. So as he's teaching and walking, they're gathered around him, listening. And all of a sudden, as they're listening to Jesus, they hear this interruption. This blind man is yelling out, "Son of David, have mercy. Son of David, have mercy." And they no longer can kind of hear the conversation and get the goosebumps from the words that are going on. You're kind of, you know, bringing a downer to the meeting, and we kind of got something going on here, and you're kind of distracting us. And they really see this blind man as an inconvenience to what they were doing. But Jesus didn't. Why did Jesus not get distracted? Why did Jesus not ignore him? Because Jesus didn't mind being interrupted. You know why? Because he loved people. He loved people. He loved people. How do you see interruptions? How do you deal with interruptions? Do you ever see an interruption as an opportunity? Or do you see it as someone that's just getting all up in your space? Someone that's messing up my schedule? Someone that's kind of getting me off track from the things that I need to do? He loved people. Healing Place, I want you to remember something that we learned from Luke chapter 18. Behind every one of life's interruption is an opportunity to do the work of God. To do the work of God. You just never know what's behind an interruption. Jesus was able to put it on pause and kind of leave the conversation and head out in compassion, because that person mattered to God. And that person needed destiny. And that person needed a promise. Life's interruptions can be big God opportunities for each one of us. Here's the second thing that I learned out of Luke chapter 18, reading this little Dr. Seuss story, that no one is too little or too small for God's attention. No one is too little or too small for God's attention. See, Horton hears the who, Jesus hears you. I love this whole scene by the roadside. There they are in the crowd, and there's voices that are talking, and Jesus is walking by, and we don't know how he knows that Jesus is walking by. He's calling out. He's hearing the voices increase, and that road has always just been a river of patchy voices for this precious blind man. He gets bits and pieces of conversation because nobody's really talking to him. No one's really spending any time with him, and he gets bits and pieces that Jesus of Nazareth is coming by. He's a healer. He cares. He's compassionate. Look what he did here. Look what he did there. And as someone, you know, throws him a little morsel and says, "When Jesus is coming this way," he begins to cry, "Jesus, maybe he could give me an answer. Maybe he could help me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." And those around him, shh. The Bible says that those who led the way, those that were at the front of the pack. How many knows that sometimes we can be close to church, close to Christianity, and still not get it? Can I have a better amen? Because we get so busy and so self-consumed and so self-important and so self-aware that we miss it. And here are the ones hearing the words of Christ, but they're really not hearing the words of Christ. And he begins to call out, Son of David, have mercy. Shh. You're bothering. And I like a guy who doesn't listen up. He just gets more persistent. Son of David. Shh. Son of David. Don't even listen to him. Just elevates it. Just amplifies it a little bit more. And out of nowhere, Jesus hears this speck of dust on the side of the road. And it draws his attention. Savior of the world. Why? Because no one is too little or too small for God's attention. People may make you feel little. Do you know there are some people in our life They have a PhD in the gift of belittling. They know how to belittle people. If you're not careful, others can make you feel small and unimportant, that your needs don't matter. That even we can do that to ourselves. We know that God can heal. We know that Jesus is powerful. We know that Jesus can do anything, but he's not going to do it for me. I'm not on the top 10 list. I've had too many failures. I've had too many problems. There's no way God's going to ever meet my need. I'm just too little in this. I know that God can do it. It's not a power problem. It's just I'm irrelevant to God. Can I tell you this? That God is not interested in the celebrities of faith. We get all worked up over celebrities. God doesn't. I can tell you who's on his red carpet. It's the homeless, the poor, the forgotten, the lonely. That's who God's interested in. Shh. And he calls out and he calls out. Jesus says, bring him over here to me. And he comes to the feet of Jesus. Jesus says these words. What do you want me to do? What a thought to a man who is set in darkness. What do you want me to do? And immediately, he didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to call a friend. He didn't ask for a lifeline. Okay, tell me something. Help me, help me, help me, help me. He said, I want to see. I want to see. I want to get off of this roadside. I want to get out of the darkness. I want to love. I want to laugh. I want to live. I want to see. And the Bible says, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light in darkness. And so the fullness of the Godhead on the side of that road says, let there be light. And immediately, this blind Bartimaeus is now seeing Bartimaeus. Let there be light. And light came into the darkness. And in a split second, he was transformed from darkness into light. We don't know what happened. The Bible says after it happened, everyone was amazed. And everyone began to praise God, lift up the name of Jesus. All of a sudden, his eyes had light. And he saw the sky. He saw a tree. He saw buildings. He saw people. And then he saw the face of the one that was kind to him. And he looked into the eyes of God. And he saw value. Horton hears a who. Jesus hears you. There's no one too small or too little. There's nothing going on in your life that's too small or too little that God doesn't care about. Can I have a good amen? Amen. That's the kind of God that we serve. And then the last thought that I learned, Luke chapter 18, and our boy Horton, is action always speaks louder than words. Action always speaks louder than words. Oh, teach us, teach us, teach us, teach us, Jesus, teach us, talk to us, talk to us, teach us, teach us, teach us. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Shh, keep talking, keep talking, keep talking about it. There was the Pharisees, there were the disciples, everyone's listening, teaching, teaching. All of a sudden, Jesus hears someone calling. And you know what's incredible about our Savior? He will always choose compassion over conversation. I'm glad we're a church that's decided not to be built upon debate and dialogue, but to be built upon the cause of Christ. Reaching people whom the Son of God died for. Action always speaks way much louder than words. Horton was willing to risk to save his little friends. That speck of dust became his passion. And because he acted, they were rescued. Yay, Horton. Can I tell you something, my friend? You can serve. You can make a difference. Because there may be people around you that feel like a speck of dust. And they are floating through life wondering who will care and what's going to happen with the next wind of adversity. Where will my life end? Good news. You can serve. You can make a difference. You can sign up for Servolution. You can love. You can give of your treasure. You can give of your time. You can say a kind word to somebody around you. You can help. You can invite. You can protect the widow and the homeless and the orphans and the special needs. You can be there for the forgotten and the ignored. Yes, you can. Well, I can't. I'm small. I'm little. No one will listen to me. Guess what? You can make a difference. You can serve. You can. The question is, will we? I love what Thomas Edison said. Opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. So much opportunity is missed because it looks like sweat. The kingdom of God many times is advanced because of sweat for the cause of Christ. Sweat for the cause of Christ. Because you and I both know that our hearts are much more happier when they beat for others and not just beat for ourselves. Show me a person and their heart only beats for themselves, and I'll show you a person that their life is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller, and probably will die alone. But you show me a person who their heart beats for others, and I'm going to show you a person that's getting more joy and more joy and more. Doesn't mean their life's perfect. Doesn't mean that they don't have their share of problems. Doesn't mean, come on somebody, can somebody help me at 10 o'clock? Doesn't mean that they're not having their battles and they're not having their issues. But you show me a person who is letting their heart beat for others, and that heart is getting healthier and healthier and healthier. Because that's how the gospel works. That's how the gospel works. Horton hears a who. Jesus hears you. I want to encourage you today as I finish up. No matter what situation, or no matter how desperate your life may be, like blind Bartimaeus, if you will just call out to Jesus, call out in faith, call out to Jesus as the Son of God, guess what? He will help you too. Doesn't matter how big. You say, well, it's a tough situation. You don't know what I'm dealing with this boyfriend. Lord have mercy. You don't know what I'm dealing with as a single mom, with what's going on in my family. Pastor, it's tough right now. I'm in a desperate situation. I've got some hard circumstances. Think about who Jesus ran into that day. All alone. Stuck in darkness. Jesus helped him. So guess what? Jesus can help you. Amen.